I live with dogs, three small to medium-sized ones relentlessly, and an extra one on weekdays. Everyone lives with dogs, whether or not they belong to us, whether or not we mind being awakened by their twitching, snorting, and pursuit of dream rabbits in our beds at night, and whether or not we are amused by their standing on the open door of the dishwasher after dinner in full view of our guests, licking the dinner plates clean. We are surrounded by dogs. Humankind has lived with canine kind for a long time. By 33,000 years ago in Siberia, there may have been domesticated dog food, according to archaeologists. By 10,000 years ago, prehistoric dog lovers were burying their dogs in carefully prepared graves. One dog had been arranged to look like he was sleeping. One wore a collar decorated with deer teeth, and one had been put to rest alongside small-scale implements that might have been his toys. Today, many humans feel a magnetic attraction to dogs. A baby's attention is riveted the first time she sees a dog. Her breathing changes, and her heart rate speeds up, and the expression on her face seems to express with wonder and delight. "Well, hello! Do you live here too?" At the far end of a human lifespan, a dog is among the last things recognizable to a patient wasted by neurodegenerative disease. Memory for facts, faces, and autobiographical details may have been lost. Intelligence, sense of humor, and creativity gone. And the ability to stand, speak, sing, clap, or laugh extinguished. And yet, if a therapy dog is led into a nursing home to the side of a patient with dementia, it sometimes kindles a powerful reaction, as if the ravaged interior canyons held a few last exhalations of joy. "I'm so sorry, but I just don't recognize you people standing at my bedside, showing me knick-knacks and weeping. But, oh my goodness, who is this now? Here is someone special. I know you." I've seen it myself, in a severely compromised child, during one of many visits over the last few years to Four Paws for Ability, a nonprofit service dog academy in Xenia, Ohio, and a world leader in training assistance dogs for children with autism, seizure disorder, Down syndrome, attachment disorder, fetal alcohol syndrome, post-traumatic stress disorder, and other physical and invisible disabilities. To date, Four Paws has placed nearly 1,000 dogs in the United States and abroad. In class one month, there was a multiply handicapped boy of indeterminate age with severe cognitive and physical impairments. He was tilted far back in a massive motorized wheelchair and spent part of each hour on a ventilator. His mother, grandparents, and sister attended the class, as well as a full-time nurse who often took the boy's pulse and temperature and sometimes pounded on his chest, alarming us all. What could a dog mean to this child, who seemed to tremble on a narrow rim of life? A gorgeous black Labrador retriever was led into the room and across the training circle by Jessa Kenworthy, a young trainer, now a senior trainer, crisply dressed in khaki slacks, white sneakers, and a white polo shirt with the Four Paws logo. The little boy's wheelchair had been sprinkled with dog treats. The lab put two broad paws up on the arm of the wheelchair, leaned in to vacuum up the treats, and then snuffled in closer, moving up and down the boy's chest, neck, and chin with shallow sniffs. With a great bovine nose, she suctioned the almost translucent little hands lying on top of the blanket. Under the oxygen mask, a pale, ageless face contorted, the lips stretching sideways. We couldn't see the child's eyes. Was he expressing fear? Was he having a seizure? I looked from the mother on one side of the wheelchair to the nurse on the other side, to Jessa standing back while loosely holding the lead. And I wondered if someone ought to restrain the dog, protect the child. A weird whining sound came out of the boy's nose. But it wasn't a cry of terror. The child seemed to be wheezing with laughter.